Good morning. We want to welcome you to Little Swatara this morning, and we also want to welcome our listening audience. We're glad you've joined us today, and we turn to our bulletin to look for announcements. We always want to highlight some of the things happening. Today is the youth membership classes. They're being held at the Parsonage, so after the second service, you can make your way to the Parsonage, and then on the 5th of June, we'll have our baptisms. Keep that date open for the second service, as well as 2 o'clock at the Siler Pond. So that'll be our youth membership classes ending today, and baptisms happening on June 5th. We also want to highlight, if you haven't received your call slate, there are some on the table in the narthex. We would encourage you to pick up a call slate and prayerfully consider the candidates for the open positions that are listed therein. May we also remember annual conference. We have backpack beginnings that we're collecting items in up until June, and that's toothbrushes, toothpaste, backpacks to put them in, shampoo, washcloths. You can see all that in your bulletin of items that we are collecting. And of course, there's that note that says all new. It would be nice not to have to use a used toothbrush. I'm sure we can all relate to that. So bring a new toothbrush for in that backpack to take to annual conference. We also just want to highlight there is an opening for the senior high youth that are going to South Carolina. If there's another youth that is interested in going, we could use one more youth to go along to South Carolina on that work camp trip, and that's right after annual conference. So just see Rich is in the back there. He'd be glad to help you get the right information to be able to go there, and that's for the senior high youth in particular. We also just want to highlight tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. there is babysitting available, and that's at the Parsonage. It's a ladies' Bible study, and so 9 a.m. tomorrow at the Parsonage, and babysitting provided. Tomorrow night's also a preschool recognition night to keep those little ones in prayer as they graduate from preschool. It's such an exciting time. And we just want to also highlight this week at 7 o'clock is the Lebanon Valley Brethren Home Services. It's their spring remembrance. I'll be bringing the message there. Our choir will be singing, and you're more than welcome to join us. So we would encourage you to come out Wednesday the 25th at 7 p.m. And then the Feeding Trough Bible Study has taken a break until the time that returns, so we'll keep you posted as far as when that particular event will begin again. So we also just want to highlight that there is the car, truck, tractor, and motorcycle show, an exciting time here at Little Swatara from 8 to 1 p.m. That's on June 18th. Again, June 18th, 8 to 1 p.m., our car, truck, tractor, and motorcycle show, and there'll be activities for the children, a pedal tractor pull, a very, very exciting time here in the life of the church. Are there any other announcements this morning? We would ask you to wait for a microphone so our listening audience can hear you as well. Any other announcements that we'd like to highlight this morning? Yes, please inform us about Haiti and the mission trip that is forming. Many people interested already. So Rich is coming with the microphone.
Thanks for waiting, sorry. I just want to remind everyone, if you are interested at all, you don't have to be committed, just interested in going on our trip to Haiti in February 2017, from the 4th through the 11th, we're having a meeting on June 1st, that's a Wednesday night at 7 p.m. here at the church. So all you have to be is just curious. Just come for the meeting and ask some questions, and hopefully I can give you some guidance. I truly believe that when I was called to Haiti, and then also we had moved to this church around the same time, and I think it was for a reason. I think it was for some people here. God just wants more people to go and minister to the people that he loves in other parts of the country as well. So just wanted to remind you of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashley. So a reminder to sign up in the narthex. There's a sheet there that talks about Haiti, and just place your name and come on out and find out more about that at any level of interest, and we'll go from there. So we're excited about that opportunity. Thank you, Ashley, for making that possible. Any other announcements this morning?
As a representative of the Bethel Tawbahakan Council of Churches, I want to announce that you probably, I don't know if you saw the announcement about the clothing giveaway. It will be on June the 3rd from 9 to 4 a.m. over at Salem Lutheran Church, and then on Saturday, June the 4th from 9 to dinner, to noon. And if you have clothing that you want to donate, you can put it this next week or so, put it out in the Northex or the foyer, from what I understand, what we usually do. What?
The
the North X.
Between the doors, north exit,
in other words. You know where that is.
All right.
And if we could use help sorting clothes on the Thursday, that would be what, the 2nd, at 9 a.m., from 9 a.m., and usually it lasts till about dinner. That depends how much help we got. The more help we got, the sooner it gets over, and there'll be a lunch provided. And so if you have, like me, you have a whole bunch of clothes that shrank in the closet, give it away.
That seems to always be happening, does it? We want to invite you to please rise if you're able and join us in our opening hymn this morning, Morning Has Broken. It's number 648. So please rise if you're able. At this time, we invite you to share in any joys or concerns. Tonight is the Topahawken High School Baccalaureate here at the church, and we're excited for those graduates as they enter into the next phase of their lives, and we want to ask you to keep them in prayer. In the early service, we had a baby dedication. Chloe Elizabeth Brubaker and Andrew and Chelsea are the parents, and we were blessed to be able to have that time of sharing together in our first service. And Harold Myers is on our prayer concerns, not listed here this morning, but he's at Hershey Hospital, and want to continue to lift up Harold Myers in our prayers. Are there other joys or any concerns that you'd like to highlight this morning?
I'd like to lift up a concern that I discussed in Sunday school class. There is a congregation of the Church of the Brethren voting this morning on the status of marriage in defiance of annual conference directives. So I would like us to lift us up as a church, and since Richard's right here, I think we need to be in prayer for our conference delegates, because I feel that this is probably going to be a contentious issue that is going to be brought to annual conference this year, because they've been trying to do it in years past, and they're becoming more aggressive, I guess I want to say. Maybe even as we speak, this vote is taking place. And it's becoming a little bit divisive in other denominations. So we need to keep this in prayer, and especially our annual conference and our delegates that we're sending there.
Thank you.
Something I forgot to mention about the clothing drive. If you have clothing to donate, please have it here by 6 o'clock Wednesday evening. before the clothing giveaway. And if you have, you can take your clothes over directly to the Salem Lutheran in Bethel from 6 to 7:30 on Wednesday evening, or you can also deliver it on Thursday morning after 9 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other joys or concerns to share this morning? We ask you to continue to lift up Naomi Moyer and the family with the funeral services of Lloyd yesterday. It was a beautiful time of individual sharing how he's had such an impact on people's lives, but we all know as a church family we'll greatly miss him. Yes, Gary.
Yeah, I'd like to lift up a co-worker of mine. Her stepbrother lives in Florida, and this past week he was struck by lightning, and he is not doing very well. And just lift up prayers for Luke Scheimer. Thanks.
To the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity and the humble privilege to be able to come before you this day in prayer, knowing that at every moment in our lives we have instant communication with you. And we thank you, Father, that we are called your children and we're able to access you day in and day out. And we pray now, Father, as a church is making that incredible decision of whether to change what the status of marriage is, we pray, Father, for their members and the decision that they are making. And we think of the impact that'll have at annual conference. And we pray for our delegates, Lord, as they serve in that capacity. We think, Father, of those persecuted across the world, in particular our Nigerian brothers and sisters. And we pray, Father, your hedge of protection around them. And despite that persecution, they continue to love and to serve their enemy. And we just pray, Father, against the enemy's schemes that you would bring peace and you would allow them to be still and to recognize the compassion their brothers and sisters are having upon them and for them. We think, Father, of those on our prayer concerns, Robert Snyder and Roberta Bayshore and Pete Sanchez and Carol Shaw and Catherine and Ken Wenger and Sandy Kaufman and the family of Naomi Moyer grieving and Ruth Wenger and Jen Emmerich and Jess Hartramp and Orwin Keeney and Gene Lingle and Tom Schwenk and Daniel Bryant and Harold Myers. Father, we place them into your loving arms. We place each of us into your loving arms, asking you to move in our presence, Father, that whatever the situation we may be dealing with, Father, that you would express your love for us in the way that you see fitting according to your plan and to your perfect will. And Father, we don't claim to understand why things happen the way that they do, but Father, we turn strongly towards you and ask you to give us that understanding that surpasses our knowledge. And we pray, Father, now that as we come before you in just a brief moment of silent prayer, you would hear our prayers of confession, asking for forgiveness, which we know is available through the cross upon which your Son, Jesus Christ, died and has given us freedom. And we pray, Father, that we would live that cross-filled life knowing that we are free and can turn from those sins. So, Father, we pray during these next few moments of silent prayer, you would hear our personal prayers. We lift up our brother Luke, who was struck by lightning, and we pray, Father, your healing touch upon him, the circumstance he finds himself in. And anyone here this morning dealing with illness or dealing with struggles, Father, we know that your love and your compassion, your mercy, your grace is upon us. And we just pray, Father, we would walk in that mercy. And we know that you are among us and your presence goes with us. Your Holy Spirit guides us. And how we thank you, Father, for the way that you move and continually lift us up. And we pray now in Jesus' name, all these things. Amen.
To see.
Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Invite the rest of the children, come join me up front. many of you know what that is?
GPS.
It's a GPS. Do you know what GPS stands for?
G.
You don't know? It stands for Global Positioning System. Would you guys ever have guessed that?
No.
Many of us have a GPS in our car. And many of your parents have downloaded a GPS app onto their phone. When you're going on a trip, does your mom or dad put their where you're going into an address space on the GPS?
Yeah.
Do you know why they do that? So they don't get lost. The GPS gives them turn-by-turn directions, and it gives them a little picture on the screen of the final destination. And it gives us, like, if we use the app called Waze, it gives us if there's a problem ahead, so we're able to avoid it. In trying to find the way through life's journey, God has given us a spiritual GPS. Do you know who that is? Jesus? Good guess, but it's the Holy Spirit. When we don't know which way to go, the Holy Spirit points us in the right direction. Do you remember that I told you that GPS gives us a map? Well, it's also true for the spiritual GPS. The map for the spiritual GPS, do you know what that is? The Bible. It is the map that shows us how to live life in a way that is pure and good. Our feelings change from day to day, so we cannot trust our own feelings to guide us through the right path. But we can always trust the Bible to show us the direction and help us to make the right decisions. Jesus knew that we might need help in making the right decisions in life. He promised that God would send the Holy Spirit to guide us in all truth. That means the Holy Spirit will help us understand God's word, which always points us in the right direction. It points us to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the light. Can you imagine taking a trip without a GPS? I would get very lost. And without the Bible to navigate us through life, I don't know what I would do. But I know that I can always turn to God's word and let the Holy Spirit be our guide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that when our Lord Jesus went away, he sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, our teacher, and our guide in daily journey. Help us to follow his guidance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
So for our offertory thought this morning, I'd like to speak in terms of pennies. If I were to have one penny in front of me, how many pennies is that worth? If I had a nickel, how, I gave you the answer. How many pennies would that nickel be worth? Five. What if we had a dollar bill? 100. Now, in the first service, we struggled a little bit with this one, but if we had a $20 bill in front of us right now, how many pennies would that be worth? 2,000. But when you turn to your neighbor and you look at your neighbor, there's no value that you can place on that person. For we know that in God's eyes, we are valuable as his son is to the cross is death, to the resurrection is to life. So as we give this morning, let's not think monetarily, but let's think in the blessing that we can be to others, because each life is valuable to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give. We thank you that we can think in terms of the value of life. And we know, Father, that as we give, we are blessing the lives of others. And we pray, Father, as we are blessing others, that the funds that come in, we would glorify you and you would use them according to your purposes. We pray for your guidance and your direction to give us cheerful hearts this morning as we give our offering this morning unto you. And it's in Jesus' most precious name that we pray. Amen.
Many beautiful and deeply important things have happened in Jerusalem over its history. Perhaps some of the most impacting things happened in the same location within the city. The upper room is literally that, an upper room in an ancient dwelling within Jerusalem. But what happened in this space and in the lower rooms is far from ordinary. Here, Jesus sat down to partake of his Last Supper. It was here, surrounded by his closest friends, that he broke the bread, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you." And offering them the cup, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." From this room, untold millions of believers have carried this tradition forward, linking them in the unbroken story of Jesus' sacrifice and victory. This alone would make the Upper Room one of the most significant pilgrimage sites for a believer in Jesus. But there is so much more to this place. After Jesus ascended into heaven, his disciples were told to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They did, here in the Upper Room. And when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit came with the sound of a mighty rushing wind and cloven tongues of fire, filling them. The result was the flashpoint that would come to be known as the beginning of the church. This makes the Upper Room as significant a place as any in Jerusalem. But there's actually more to the story. As more and more people began to believe in Jesus and be baptized, a community began to emerge that would eventually be known as the Jerusalem Church, led by Jesus' brother, James. The Jerusalem Church was the first and would become known as the mother of all churches. Archaeological evidence indicates that the lower room beneath the upper room is an ancient synagogue, but not just any synagogue. This one is a little different, in part because it's not oriented to the Temple Mount, but rather to the place of the resurrection at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Archaeological work done in the 1950s unearthed several iterations of this building: a Crusader-era floor, a Byzantine mosaic floor, and then the original floor, which would date to the time of Jesus. There, some of the earliest Christian graffiti was discovered, saying, "Conquer, Savior, mercy. And O Jesus, that I may live, O Lord of the Autocrat." It is reasonable, because of the long-held tradition and history of this place, that Jesus' Last Supper and the coming of the Holy Spirit happened here. It is also reasonable to believe that this is the original place of the Jerusalem Church, the mother of all churches.
There's something about rooms. Every room in our home has a purpose. Whether it's the room we dine in or the room we gather in to share life together, rooms have meaning. We don't find many homes these days with empty rooms. They've gathered antiques or memoirs. They've been laden with chairs, furniture, crafts, even libraries. And then there's always that room that gathers those things that they don't seem to belong anywhere else, that we call the storage room. But I have a feeling in one way or another, we can all identify that room in our lives that has had a lasting impact. For me, it was the living room at my grandparents' home. It was there on Sunday afternoon after a hearty lunch full of laughter with cousins, Pap's jokes, or even a bit of learning from stories of days gone by, we'd watch Eagles football. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles! But for some of us, there may be rooms we avoid, such as that musty basement, the fear of spiders or mice. Maybe it's the room that Daddy had to get the belt out in, or a room where a loved one passed away. Rooms have the power to bring us joy or to bring us pain. But there's another room I'd like to talk about this morning, and that room is within our hearts. A room that only the love of God can fill, and no matter what other rooms we visit, this one room is always vacant until that love pours in. Some of us have an incredible ability to compartmentalize our lives. There's the room for family, a room for our job, a room for friends, and even a room for the church. And for some, there's always that secret room that not many people know about, where the darkest moments of our lives happen. We tend to keep that door closed and under lock and key. Only we think we know what's happening in that room. But I want to challenge us this morning to realize that there's no room for such a room in our lives. As follower of Christ, we may feel like we're getting away with something, but friends, God knows. And my prayer is that we have reached a level in our relationship with Him that this truly matters. These compartments need to be grouped together as one with full access from God. You see, every room has a potential to shine on Christ or darken our witness. So the question I ask us this morning is, how much room have we made for God in our lives? Could it be that our rooms of life are getting overcrowded? I'm not saying balance isn't a critical piece to full living. What I am saying is that this balance needs to be aligned with God. We can be active in sports. We can cheer on our favorite players, hang out with friends, be involved in family activities with God in mind. There's a caution flag that needs to be waved when we think any room of our lives is off limits to God. I know as parents, we often give boundaries for dating, for texting, for online access. As children and teens, these boundaries can often get pushed. But what we have to understand is boundaries are healthy. If we live life and have no issue with doing whatever we want, whenever we'd want, I'd encourage us to take another look at the cross. Jesus didn't go to the lengths He did so we could abuse the freedom He's given us. On the contrary, my friends, this life is sacred, and every room should hold a reservation for God. As a matter of fact, if it helps you this morning, imagine that do not enter sign on your life that is only intended for the enemy. This space, this life otherwise is intended for God. What we do, what we say, where we are, who we're with, and how we're acting matter to God. And friends, if it matters to God, it should matter to us. If we never noticed before, there's a force in the world trying to play games with our mind. We can actually become overly consumed by what the other rooms in the world are offering. We turn on the TV. We read the daily newspaper. We follow even just the headlines online. And it's very easy to let our minds become distracted with the world's thinking. Jesus has even cautioned us time and time again, there will be false teachers among us. And what we're realizing is many times these rooms from the world are not in any way whatsoever healthy to our Christian walk. What's happening as a result is a continual buildup of the dust and cobwebs of sin in our lives. The smell is getting so bad, we can hardly breathe. But friends, in this moment, these rooms can be cleansed by the healing power of God. This can be the precise moment when the healing begins. All along, as a song goes, we thought we had to keep it up. All this work we had to do, we think we're good and we can't believe it's not enough. These walls we built up, they're only glass on the outside. So this morning, I'm inviting us to let them fall down. We have this hope, we have this assurance and comfort that there's freedom waiting in the sound when we let those walls fall to the ground. You see, it's in that throne room of grace that we're now in. This, my friends, is where the healing can begin. This is where the healing can start when we come to where we're broken within and the light meets the dark. We may gather and be afraid to let our secret rooms be known. There's room after room we may try to hide. But friends, we can come now in the presence of God, crashing through that door, no longer scared to face our fear, for we know that shame, it will disappear. So friends, let it fall down. We can't begin to imagine the freedom waiting in the sound of those walls falling to the ground. The sparks in this room will fly as grace collides with the dark inside. So please, friends, don't fight any longer. This coming light, let the blood of Jesus cover us. The healing can begin. For the disciples, this room took the name of the upper room, and it carried a massive punch with it. It's where Jesus shared his last supper, where Jesus washed their feet and made bold claims about the future, much of which they didn't understand. This room signified the beginning and the end of Jesus' ministry. But in today's passage, launches the disciples into an era of radical witnessing for Jesus Christ. No doubt, rooms leave their marks on our souls. So let's read together today from chapter 3, the book of Acts. We'll be looking at the first 10 verses, Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. And let's read those together this morning. They'll be on the screen as well. Listening audience, we encourage you to get your Bibles if you have not already. Acts 3, verses 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you have in store for us this day. May your word come alive like a living sword, sharp on either side, and pierce us to our soul. And help us, Father, to understand through the Spirit. Amen. So what's happening this morning is Peter and John are entering a room in the temple to pray. A man who has been crippled since birth is being carried up at precisely the exact time. Often we'll call this a coincidence, but I think not. What we've learned from our passage is that every day he's been placed at the temple gate called Beautiful. And on this day, as was his normal routine, he was begging from those who entered the temple. Now we can picture Peter and John about to enter the temple, and this man asks for a handout. We can assume it's at this very moment Peter makes eye contact with the man, as does John. Now we have to keep in mind, this isn't any ordinary eye contact. The scripture says they looked him straight in the eye. Peter even goes on to say, "Look at us." so we can begin to feel what the man is feeling. That's great expectancy. He may even have a look on his face of elation, complete joy. But we know these disciples are not providing a monetary response, but something, friends, of far greater value. So Peter makes this profound statement that is about to change this man's life forever. He goes on to say, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you." And here comes the powerful verse. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Let's not be tempted to overanalyze this verse. It's plain as day that these disciples are without money. But after what just happened in that upper room, they have been given the Holy Spirit in power. It tells us earlier in the Gospels that Jesus said these words, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." And of course, we know that's in reference to the sending of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. These are the wonders and signs people were in awe of when the Spirit came. When Jesus made this statement, I often wonder how perplexing, how confusing it may have been to these disciples. Look closely at what it says, "whoever believes in me." Friends, that includes those of us who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, "will do the works I have been doing and will do even greater things than these." Now, John MacArthur, a commentary that I often reference, says that Jesus did not mean greater works in power, but extent. They would become witnesses to all the world through the power of the Holy Spirit, and would bring many to salvation because of the Comforter dwelling within them. MacArthur goes on to say the focus is on the spiritual rather than the physical miracle. Now, I don't often disagree with commentators, but in this case, obviously, in our passage, those greater works are through the power of the Holy Spirit in the physical. Remember that this was a crippled man. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he can now walk. In a way, he was placed at this gate so his physical needs would have been met. The begging of alms was actually rather common for people to respond in charity. It was highly regarded that these lame or blind that were sitting at the gate would not go hungry. But look again at what the passage says. It goes beyond the satisfaction of hunger. We see a crippled man and the Jesus disciples approaching him. We can hear them saying, "We have no money, but what they do have, they will give him." And then it appears as in an instant, Peter and John make him well in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. They reach out their hand and help him up. And what happens next goes beyond our understanding. It's rather astounding. It reads, "his feet and ankles become strong." And it goes on, "as he jumps to his feet, he begins to walk." We simply, in our human thinking, don't have words for these moments. We use terminology like miracles, but the emphasis is always on the proclamation of the good news itself. Listen how the scripture unfolds. From the steps of the beautiful gate, Peter, John, and the beggar pass through the temple courts. Now, this gate called Beautiful was a large and ornate gate inside the temple mount on the eastern side. It separated the court of the Gentiles from the court of the women into the temple. Again, we emphasize that this is where the beggars believed was the prime spot for a handout, because people were coming to impress God, not only with their pious works, but their offerings at the temple treasury. So when Peter says, "we can't give you gold or silver, but we can give you what we have," in my mind, the beggar is still thinking monetarily. What the man doesn't realize is this is where his healing begins. That room in his life that has always desired a handout is about to be so much more. And friends, in our lives, we often expect God to move in a certain way. When all along, could it be the time for healing has already begun? You see, the apostles were normal people like you and I, filled with God's Spirit. Often, Jewish people thought wonder workers did miracles like causing rain by their great piety, which God did pay attention to. But here in our passage, it cannot be mistaken that these disciples are ordinary, everyday, walk of life people, trusting in the Lord Jesus, surrendering to the Holy Spirit that has filled them. This miracle, this wonder, this healing gets the attention of the people. For they know very well that this is the same crippled guy that has sat at the gate for who knows how many years. And now he's walking, he's praising God. Talk about a testimony, talk about a witness for Christ. Is it possible? Is it possible that God uses these times in our lives to bring glory to himself and to increase our witness? Look again at verse 10. These people were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to this man. It's not like we're going to Ripley's, believe it or not, at the beach, which deals in these bizarre events and items so strange and unusual that we question their claims. We've seen firsthand what God can do. There are multiple witnesses to these accounts that we've read of. Friends, this isn't a story. This isn't a fable. They're facts and testimonies to the power of God. Could it be that this same power through the Holy Spirit that these disciples have just demonstrated to this crippled man in the name of Jesus of Nazareth is available to us today? And if so, why does it seem we are not seeing as many signs and wonders? Why is the miraculous not really a part of our everyday life? Or is it? We'll visit this more as weeks unfold, but I'd encourage us today to take an inventory of the rooms in our lives. Recognize that as we turn to God and keep the doors unlocked and we allow access for him to move in any area of our life, that the healing will begin. Friends, allow the walls to fall down to the ground and listen for the freedom waiting in the sound. These miracles aren't some symbolic happening. They're actual events to serve a purpose, to accomplish something that cannot be accomplished in any other way. They're to prove that God is like no one else, that he has complete control over creation because he is its very source, and to convince us that if he can do all these miraculous things, nothing, and I do mean nothing, in our lives is too difficult for him to handle. The difference, my friends, is will we allow him the access to do so? He wants us simply to trust him, to know that he can do miracles in our lives. If these miracles didn't occur, how could we trust anything the Bible says? Especially when it tells us that eternal life is available through Jesus Christ. You see what's happening in the world around us is we're beginning to call parts of Scripture into question. And when we do that, my friends, God's entire marvelous plan becomes suspect. And friends, we open the door for the lies, for the distortions, which are Satan's plan to destroy our faith. May we allow God access to every room in our lives. May we let the healing begin. Let's pray. Father, we don't understand the miraculous, but Father, we know the miraculous happens on a daily basis. It's easy to be able to witness the miraculous when a newborn baby comes to life and is born into this world. But Father, we know the miraculous is happening day in and day out. We pray in Jesus' name you would open our eyes to be able to see it. But Father, when we see it, we pray that we wouldn't witness it only to ourselves, but we would witness it to the world and allow others to know the power of the Holy Spirit given through Christ. So Father, now as we go throughout this day, as we take that inventory of our lives, we pray that you would help us to be aligned with what your purposes and what your plans are for each of us. And Father, forgive us for those sins that we continually allow to enter into rooms of our lives. May we close the door, may we shut out the enemy once and for all, and may we heed the call of our Lord Jesus Christ to bear witness to the miraculous. And it's in Jesus' most precious, most holy name that we pray. Amen. May we go out into this world knowing the hope of Jesus Christ, going out in peace, going out proclaiming the good news. May we find our hope through our Lord. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen.